It's the Brushback on WSMIRadio.com with Jenkins and Kay Hirsch. I'm David Jenkins, joined by Kyle Hirschelman. Labor Day is beyond us, and we are back after a week off. It is September 11th, if you're listening today on Monday, September 11th. Of course, we all remember what happened on this day 16 years ago. We want to honor those first responders, not only in the New York area, but those everywhere across the country and the world, because first responders are fantastic. That was my two cents about that. Sports happened this weekend, as they always do, Kyle, and you were a busy person this weekend.
Yeah, we kept busy.
Obviously, week three of the football season was Friday evening. We touched a little bit about that, or on that, on Saturday morning during Sports Saturday. But you had a very special volleyball tournament that you covered, what, Friday and Saturday? Was it a two-day event?
Yeah, two-day event, 16 teams, inaugural Montgomery County invite. Had all four county teams in it. They kind of subheaded it, a Grace-Filled tourney. Some of the proceeds and sponsorships and things went to INAD research, which is a disease that my daughter has.
Sure.
So 16 teams held at Raymond and Hillsboro, and just a really good event. So
how did the tournament go? What were some of the winners?
They broke it. They had each pool had three teams in it. Four teams in it, and there was four pools. Then they broke it down to bracket play. Auburn ended up winning the entire tournament. They beat Lincolnwood in the championship. Staunton defeated Edinburgh for third place. Roxana beat beat Hillsboro for fifth, and Nokomis defeated North Mac for seventh. So that was that's the top eight in Raymond. I'd have to kind of
look. Gold and the silver brackets, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the top eight teams in the tournament there at Raymond. There was eight more teams over in Hillsboro. Mm-hmm. So just really a great tournament. It ended up raising about $7,000. Some really good players. I had a 10-person all-conference team, plus they gave my daughter the MVP trophy, trophy, so that was nice too. So. But three players off Auburn, including Jordan Martin, who was the MVP, Hayden Glick and Carly Brunchen from Lincolnwood were on there, as well as Sammy Moore from Hillsboro, who had a really nice tournament. She played really well the game I saw her at Hillsboro against Morrisonville. So
I would imagine pretty well received tournament by all the teams participating.
Seemed like it. You know, I mean, I'm sure some of them wish they would have won a few more games. Some of them, anytime you do something for the first time, I'm sure there's going to be hiccups, but everybody I talked to had a pretty positive outlook. I was really touched. Auburn's head coach was talking to Kimberly Denny, the Lincolnwood head coach, and said, this is what high school athletics should be about. You know,
absolutely.
It's giving back, you know, it's doing that kind of thing. We got a nice picture of seven or eight of the teams with Grace right before the championship game. So it turned out really nice.
Sure, absolutely. So that was what went on with volleyball. I don't know that there was much else, much other volleyball that went on. I'm sure there was around the area, but that pretty much covered a lot of the teams we cover.
Yeah, it was a good, like I said, a nice mix. A lot of MSM teams, a handful of South Central, a handful of teams that I don't get to see very often, with St. Elmo Brownstown and Father McGivney and some of those teams. So, we really appreciate everybody coming out. I think, they had a good, pretty good crowds for that. So, which my wife Mary brought up one time. She kind of wonders why volleyball doesn't necessarily draw some of the crowds that like basketball and football do.
And we
talked about it, and I think it's not as firmly entrenched and like the atmosphere, but I mean, volleyball is high impact, mm-hmm. high, excitement sport, especially since they've gone to rally scoring. Back whenever they didn't have rally scoring, I think some of the games could be pretty long. But I also think it's a gender thing. I think there's a little bit of a stigma on female sports. You know, you see smaller crowds at girls' basketball games. You see smaller crowds at girls' soccer games and at the high school level. Maybe not so much at the professional or at the national team level, but it's interesting to me.
When do volleyball games typically happen? Because I know when you have basketball season, usually girls' games are Monday nights and Thursday nights. Boys' games are Tuesdays and Fridays. Obviously football, it's Friday night. Does volleyball usually have a set night of the week or nights of the week?
Not so much. It seems like a lot of Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
As far as basketball, I'm not sure necessarily that it's the night of the week that does it. And I've seen some really good crowds for volleyball too, over at Hillsboro especially. I don't know if it has anything to do with the day or not. They usually try to squeeze three games in for a lot of the teams because they'll have freshmen play at 5 and then JV at 6 and then the varsity usually starts around 7:15. But like I said, I've come to appreciate volleyball a lot more since I've started at the paper a decade ago. It's an interesting dynamic. I'm not really sure why. I think part of it's just history, basketball has been around forever, football's been around forever, and for the most part, girls' sports haven't really been around for as long.
Sure.
So I think that's part of it. I think the other part is, like I said, a little bit of a gender bias or gender stigma. So.
Could be. Yeah, and I agree with you because you'd go to a volleyball game and, the intensity's there. It's not for lack of tempo either. I mean, it's pretty energizing. So
and whenever it's good, it's really, really good.
Absolutely.
There was a couple really long rallies, in every game that I saw. It seemed like a couple of them in the Nokomis North Mac game really kind of went down to the wire.
Sure.
It's kind of a neat aspect to that too. I mean, and there's big performances. I mean, it's a lot of fun to watch. I enjoyed myself. So
maybe we should do something to draw people in, like go there.
Yeah.
I know you obviously do, but
yeah.
We from the station don't get there enough.
I know for you guys, it's
all about the advertising dollars.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't sell. We don't sell volleyball, so.
Yeah, but it's also, there's got to be a comfort level on something you and broadcast, too. So.
Well, Terry has called junior high volleyball because the Lincolnwood junior high team a couple of years ago went to state. He had, I don't remember who it was.
Mary Hammersley.
Yeah.
Lincolnwood's former coach.
Right.
And you can just pretty much set her down and let her go, and she's a wealth of knowledge on volleyball for sure.
So we could probably handle the play-by-play side. It would be getting the color person down consistently that would be the issue.
Yeah.
And learning the terminology.
And volleyball is not the only sport that, has, like I said, there's a smaller number. You see a smaller number of fans at a lot of girls' games too. There's exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, it's not that. But, it's not just gender related too. I mean, wrestling draws a lot smaller crowds than the other more mainstream sports.
Yeah, it really, if it's not football, basketball, or baseball/softball, it doesn't draw as well. Even soccer, it seems like, doesn't draw as well as other sports.
And baseball and softball are hit and miss too.
Right.
I mean, it's harder to gauge because it's not a contained atmosphere.
Right.
You may have a big crowd, you may not. It's kind of hard to tell just because everybody's so spread out. But
right.
Not that attendance is the end all be all either, but it's nice. I'm sure the people that were there enjoyed it, and for the people that weren't, that's why I'm here.
That's right. Absolutely. So that was volleyball. There was golf that went on the weekend as well in Hillsboro. Were they at the Mattoon invite? Is that where they were?
Yeah, Mattoon Invitational Tournament, 38 teams, some of the best teams in the state. Ben Tyrell from Edwardsville won it with a, I believe he shot a 134, which is 10 strokes under par. He shot a 62, which is 10 strokes under par. And he was the only person in the 60s.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, just lit it up. You know, really, really a good tournament. Hillsboro did pretty well. They were 12th overall. They finished as the highest finishing Class 1A team. Everybody ahead of them was either 2A or 3A. So there was only two 1A teams in the top 20, the other one being Mount Carmel,
okay,
over by the Indiana border in like the Evansville area. Yeah. So
was Hillsboro the only immediate area team participating in that?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I mean, it's a invite. It's some heavy hitters there. Lincolnwood went a few years ago whenever they were kind of on their run. Got a nice message on Twitter from Shane Convery wishing the Hillsboro team good luck. So yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, it's a tournament that's going to make Hillsboro better whenever the season is winding down in October. But Alex Eichhoff did well, finishing the top 25.
Did he shoot a 74?
Yeah, I think he shot a 74 on Saturday on day two. So pretty solid round for him.
Good.
Shot an 86, I think, something like that on the first day. So really improved his second day scores. Big story was Wilson Hamby actually came on. Tony Perfetti was taking the ACT test.
Okay.
So they subbed in Jeff Eichhoff, head coach of Hillsboro, was telling me that they subbed in Wilson for Tony the second day, and Wilson just goes out and shoots a 76. I mean, just you know, career best. I mean, just blows it out of the water. So
that's how deep their team is.
Yeah, good for him. You know, and I mean, that's the thing. They have six guys on the varsity that are capable of shooting, you know, in the low 40s to low 30, you know, mid to low 30s.
Sure.
You know, they're 1 through 4. If they're over 40, it's pretty shocking. And that's Alex Eichhoff, Alex White, Tony Perfetti, and Dane Huber. And then Owen Malloy and Caden White both have played really well, too. And then you add in Wilson Hamby and Tad Daniels and a couple other guys on the JV team that have the opportunity to be right up there, too. So
sure.
It's they're fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's
they're gonna go places.
Yeah, and
they're young.
and golf is a virtually impossible sport to watch.
Yeah.
Just because you can't be everywhere at the same time. Even if you go out on the course, you can't be everywhere. You can kind of follow one group, or you can kind of stand at a junction and catch people teeing off.
How does one attend a high school golf match?
It's like I said, it depends on what you're after. You know, whenever I go to state, I'll follow a couple of the groups a little bit longer, depending on how many teams that I have there and how many players that I have there. A lot of the time, if I'm just looking for art for photographs, yeah, I will try to find a place where two or three holes meet.
Okay.
And at Shoal Creek and Raymond, it's, you know, the second and third hole. I can get guys coming off on the second hole on for like they're on the greens there, and the sixth green is right there also, and I can get them teeing off on the third hole.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it kind of gives you, like I said, it's kind of hard to unless you just follow one group.
Yeah.
Like whenever Brooke Beeler was playing in the LPGA event up in Springfield a few years ago, I just followed her.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fun because you can really, you know, you can look on the scorebook and see that she got a birdie on this hole. But what you don't see is the fact that she, you know, hit a 110-yard chip shot
right.
to put it within 3 feet of the hole to make that birdie. Yeah. You know, so it's really, there's a lot of neat aspects to it. And that's some of the stuff that if you're lucky enough to catch, it really improves your story. Not always lucky enough. That's where coaches come in. Jeff and Dan Newkirk over at Litchfield and Vern Pinkston and at Lincolnwood are good about telling me if something interesting happens.
Right.
So that's always nice, you know. And you can get a little bit of an idea through some of the score sheets. If they put a hole by hole thing, you know, it's like, oh, he got a birdie on a par five, and I'm familiar enough with the courses to know which ones are tough. So
sure.
Of course they're all tough for me because I'm terrible at golf. I did hit it like a 30-foot putt with my chipping wedge at the team golf outing though.
Yeah.
But
I'm not good either.
I
enjoy golfing, but I'm not good at it.
I think that's the key, though, is if you realize that you're terrible, you can enjoy it more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's...
I also know that I don't have the mental stamina for 18 holes.
Yeah.
9 holes is fine, but, like, as soon as I'm on the back 9, it's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I'm going to go ahead and break you off a little piece of knowledge on this.
Yeah.
We've discussed for a long time. I've been a proponent of it, and we're going to make it happen one of these days. I want to do a 12-hole golf event
yeah.
because, you know, a lot of times, like, something will happen. And I think sometimes it's just, you know, the golf gods playing with you.
Yeah.
But you'll hit, like, a really great shot on 9. It's like, oh, I can do this again.
Right.
About 2-3 hole, more holes in, I'm done.
That's a good idea, yeah.
So what you do is you play 12 holes, you take your best 9 scores. So
okay,
yeah, so
that sounds good.
There's still some logistics I got to work out, but I really feel like we can make this happen.
Sounds like another Grace fundraiser.
Exactly, you know, that's what I say, or MCCA or something.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd play in that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So you know, like I said, a little.
I'm sure Tim Mize would too. He's a golfer.
Yeah, there we go. We'll sign a WSMI team up.
Yeah, John Michael Marty plays too, so we could get a team together.
See, there you go. So I just got to work out the logistics of how you get the teams to play the same holes, you know,
right.
So because, you know, you can't really shotgun start, you know, you don't want one team playing 1 through 9 and then 1, 2, and 3 and have another team play, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, I mean, you got to kind of make it fair. So, we're working on it.
Yeah.
There's some, ways to do it at Raymond by like playing some of the outside holes or doing something like that. So
what about at Indian Springs because theirs is an 18-hole course, so
yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, too, so you
if
know
if you did 12, you'd have to, like, some people would be playing holes that others wouldn't be playing. So
yeah, what you could do maybe is actually just do the first 12 holes on that one. If you did, you know, the front 9 plus, you know, 10 11 12,
mm-hmm.
then you can start guys on 10, 11, 12, and just after they get done with 12, they go back to 1. So,
this is true, yeah.
You know, that would make things much, much simpler.
It would be.
that's usually not how I roll. But
and it's in the area, so yeah. It's not like you have to travel far.
No, absolutely. And the Fullers are awesome people and have really been kind to our family. So, it's got potential. It's
absolutely.
There, so.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Soccer, what happened within the last week, or a couple weeks, really, with soccer?
Rough go for Lincolnwood on Saturday against Pleasant Plains. Pleasant Plains brought a small army of soccer players. But buddy of mine sent me a picture, I mean, it looked like they could field about 3 teams.
Oh,
so,
wow.
But, you know, Hillsboro picked up a pair of victories over Greenville 4-2 and over East Alton Wood River. They've been kind of on a hot streak the last few games. I take that back. They did beat Gillespie.
Okay.
So they beat Gillespie 8-0. They beat East Alton Wood River 5-0 before that, and then scored a win over Greenville 4-2. Came back from a 2-1 deficit at halftime. Mitchell Beck scored a pair of goals in that game. That's a good win for them, you know, with South Central Conference implications. Staunton defeated Litchfield 9-2. Litchfield lost their goalkeeper and had a player missing. So they missed. They went through most of the game without subs.
They're not very deep to begin with.
No, but they have some really talented players. So I feel like it's.
And that's a team in Litchfield that has had a good soccer history, that they've just struggled here in the recent history.
Yeah, and I feel like part of it's just, I mean, it's cyclical with the athletic classes, you know? I mean, I've talked to several Litchfield coaches about it. There's probably only about 50 boys playing sports in Litchfield, and there should be within probably 150 to 200, probably closer to 200 boys in that school. So it's, for whatever reason, numbers are just down, top to bottom, and especially in the fall sports. I don't know how the rest of sports season is going to go, but
And their enrollment is down too, it seems like, than normal, because they're at like, I think, around 420, and that's around, at least I was looking at the football enrollments, and granted this is skewed a little bit because of the multipliers and everything, but in the South Central Conference, I think they're the fourth smallest school.
Yeah.
And they used to be one of the biggest schools in the South Central.
Yeah, and pretty much every school has gone down in enrollment. Yeah. Looking at it, I think Carlinville's the only one that hasn't, and they're up one.
They're bigger than Litchfield now.
Yeah, over the last like 4 or 5 years, I think only one of the schools. So I think it's an area thing. Yeah. I don't necessarily think that it's one thing or the other, like a reason. But I'm not sure that in the overall enrollment numbers are necessarily the reason why participation is down. It could be a factor in it, but some of it's burnout, I think.
Could be.
You know, some kids are, kids are starting early, and some of it's just that's just not what they want to do.
Right.
I feel a little guilty, even talking about it, because I didn't play sports in high school. I had a job.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things I kind of wish I would have done. But we had pretty decent numbers for the most part. It has a tendency to kind of whittle down toward the, we only had two senior basketball players my senior year of high school. So, but I went to a pretty small school too.
We never had a problem with numbers in sports. I mean, we weren't necessarily good, but
sure,
the participation was there.
Yeah,
when I was in school,
and hopefully that comes back. The only good thing is, you see, just talking about Litchfield, but it happens in other places too. Mm-hmm. The volleyball team supporting, my family with the Gracefield 5K, and with this tournament. The football team is very family friend or conscious, really works toward that. Same with soccer. They do some community outreach projects. The whole row the boat, philosophy is it kind of waned a little bit last year, but I really feel like they're kind of building that up again. And I think they do some good things over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we did focus only on Litchfield with enrollment, but I mean, you look at Hillsborough, they've dropped as well as of all the schools. I think around 2005, Hillsborough was in the mid to high 600s in enrollment. They're down close to 520-ish now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're right. It's not just one or two schools. It's everybody.
It's across the board.
That probably doesn't have anything to do with participation in sports either.
I think to really tell how much that affects it, I think you have to look at percentages.
Yeah.
You have to look at the percentage of kids that go out for athletics compared to what the enrollment is. So
this is true.
I don't got that kind of time or resources, so
interest either.
Yeah. But it's an interesting thing to talk about, and I think sports do teach a lot of life lessons. If you don't like your coach, the thing is,
unfortunately, I think that does play a factor a lot around here too.
Yeah, which is all well and good, but guess what? You might not like your boss.
Right.
And if you want to keep getting a paycheck, you're going to have to just shut up and, you know, do what you're supposed to. I've never been good at shutting up, but you know, it like I said, it's, you know, I don't.
Your coach is your coach, and you should respect them.
Yeah. You know, I mean, ultimately, it's not your rodeo,
right?
You know,
are you a coachable athlete?
Yeah. And it's ultimately you're going to have to you're going to have to go through adversity.
Yeah.
But it's how you handle it. That's the biggest thing, you know. So
I've played with my fair share of uncoachable athletes before. That's all I'll say. I've seen quite a few uncoachable players while broadcasting as well.
You know, it's not that they're uncoachable. It's just that they don't attempt to be coachable.
Right.
You know, I mean, and some of it, there's, I think you're foolhardy if you say that there's some athletes that coaches just don't like.
Yeah.
On one team or the other, but you have to deal with that.
Right.
You know,
we don't have Mike Keenan around here who's trying to break up the, you know, trying to take the best players from your team and kick them off the team for no reason.
Yeah.
That's a Blues reference for those who don't know. I know we have a ton of Blues fans, but in the 90s, he hated the fact that Gretzky and Hull and Shanahan were on the team and had the nicknames and whatnot. And Yeah. Wanted to break the team up, so we did.
He had a lot of issues. So
this is true.
But
part of the reason why they haven't won the Stanley Cup in ever. That's enough of that.
But yeah, but besides that, like I said, going back to soccer, Carlinville had a nice win over Lincolnwood as well last week, I believe, or might have been the week before even. Yeah. But Matt Schmidt is a young man from Carlinville, scored 2 goals. He's the proverbial straw that stirs the drink for the Cavvies. Hey. So he's a pretty good player. But
not enough people pay attention to the Carlinville soccer program because of the football team.
I don't know exactly how to see. I pay attention to them, so yeah. I don't really know how to judge what other people do. That's their rodeo, you know. If they don't like soccer, I think the people that like soccer know. What Tim Johnson's doing at Carlinville now and what Tim Gould before him did. Tim Gould's now at the W, which
the
is
W.
Yeah, he's in Mississippi coaching at a college down there. He was at Blackburn before that, so they call it the W because it's the Mississippi College for Women. He is the men's soccer coach.
That's perfect.
They probably should have changed the name, but
who likes change anyway?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the name of the school still because they call it the W, the Dub. So you know, but
just think of getting a scholarship there, coming home and telling, "Hey, I got a scholarship to play for the school of women."
Women, yeah, I'm cool with that. Hey, if I'm getting get my school paid for,
right? Absolutely.
But I think Carlinville has a good program. You know, they've turned out some nice players. Delmo, I'm going to butcher his last name, Marchiori, whose sister's on the Carlinville soccer team. Pietro Lentini, those guys in the last 10 years have been, you know, small school players of the year for the Alton Telegraph and just good overall players. And, you know, they've I'm not sure that they've had a South Central Conference title, but they've challenged for them, and they always put up a pretty good fight. So I'm excited next week, starting on the 18th, Lincolnwood Invitational soccer tournament starts, which is basically Montgomery County and Gillespie. So Hillsboro, Litchfield, Lincolnwood, and then the Miners.
We
got
to have a fourth team.
Yeah. Yeah. So
makes sense.
Well, you can have a three-team round robin, but it's really only just 2 games. So, yeah, you know. So
that's fun.
And also, then you're begging for a tiebreaker there if you do that.
Kind of like
so.
What the Montgomery County baseball tournament used to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. But it's for, like I said, fortunately it's a round robin also. So, you know, everybody gets to play everybody, although they have played each other quite a bit it seems like, they always kind of play each other too, but it's a fun tournament. You know, there's been some really good games between Hillsboro and Lincolnwood and Litchfield also as well.
We're also a third of the way through the football season, which is kind of, I don't know if it's hard to believe, but it just started. We're already a third of the way done, so.
Well, there's only 9 games, so. I know. Yeah, mathematically, that works out pretty.
Unless
it goes pretty quickly.
Unless you're a postseason team, then you play more than 9. So.
Well, you're still a third of the way of the regular season.
This is true. For a lot of our area teams, a third of the way through the season, so.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, I got a chance to watch Carlinville play at Litchfield. I'm a believer. I wasn't sure how good Carlinville was. They're huge.
Their defense is really good.
They're so big.
Yeah.
And move so well on the lines. Gabe Long, 6'1", 300-pound center, just a beast on both ends of the ball.
It might be the best unit they've had on the offensive and defensive line in a while. Like, they've had really good teams throughout their history, obviously, but I don't know that their line has been this good.
They have 7 players listed at 250 or above.
Mm.
Yeah. And as somebody that's 250 or above, you know, that's,
and they're athletic.
That's a lot of beef. Yeah, and I'm not. So, you know, they, you know, like I said, Litchfield kind of did what they could. Had a nice game from Sam Painter. Over 100 yards rushing for Sam. You know, DeAndre Holloway had a really nice run at the end. Showed just a really good burst of speed. I'm not sure the Carlinville guys were they may have hit each other as he burst through. But no, had a nice game. Or, you know, had that. They just, I mean, Litchfield had less than 10 minutes of offense possession. They just dominated. Yeah. Carlinville dominated both sides of the ball. They kept their offense out on the field. They were quick with the defense, you know, causing 3 and outs. Tucker Hughes played extremely well. I compared it to kind of like a cat playing with a mouse. You know, they were just kind of everything they tried pretty much worked for them. So it's they're a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
So and especially with Greenville going in and knocking off Vandalia.
How about that?
So
kind of stirred up the South Central Conference race.
Yeah. Well, and it also, you know, just whenever you get ready to count out Greenville,
right,
they're going to come back and just pop you in the mouth and remind you that there's a reason why they've been so good for so long. So.
And nobody was talking about Greenville enough coming into the year.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, they've really made an impact on there. So, you know, stopped a good Vandalia team. So, good for them.
Yeah. Hillsboro got into the win column for the first time this season, going down to Roxana and winning, which they've struggled in Roxana historically, and they won convincingly 27-0, so good for them.
Yeah, good job on offense and defense. You know, that goose egg is always fun to put up. Dylan Civitate threw for 3 touchdowns.
How about that? Do you ever think you'd hear a Hillsboro quarterback doing that?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't really. See, it never surprised me to hear anything. You know, teams change. And
they do.
And anymore, you know. I mean, he threw a 92-yard touchdown pass to Jordan Gregg. I'm sure it wasn't.
He's got arm strength.
I'm sure it wasn't 92 yards in the air. There's an entire possibility that it was, a 10-yard pass. That Greg's a big athletic kid, so.
Could have been a pass, a dump off at the line of scrimmage.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's always a little deceiving, whenever, in my mind, whenever I hear a 92-yard pass, I'm thinking like 50 yards in the air.
He just chucked it. Yeah.
50 yards in the air, just going downfield and. Yeah, you know.
I tell you what, if that was like a 5 or 10 yard pass and Jordan Gregg did the rest of the work, Dylan Civitate owes him like a steak dinner or something.
I'll say, well, you know, I'm not exactly sure what happened because, I mean, Jordan's an athletic kid, but, you know, he's a good sized lad too. I mean, he wrestled, 185, I think, you know, last year. So
he was a lineman on defense, isn't he?
Yeah, lineman on defense, tight end there. So, but, then Gunnar Lentz also caught a long touchdown pass too.
He's quick.
He's a little speedier. You know, I can see that, but you know,
not
like
to say Jordan's not fast.
No,
Gunner's fast.
Yeah. Jordan's fast for a big guy. Gunner's just fast. So yeah,
his name's Gunner.
Yeah, exactly.
He was born to be quick.
Yeah, yeah. So, or in deer hunt. So,
this is true.
But Gunner had a nice game too. Like I said, good game. Like I said, I think Dylan had 214 yards passing on five attempts. So,
oh my goodness.
Or out of five pass completions.
Oh
so,
my goodness.
But like I said, a good defensive showing for them. I saw they had 3 forced fumbles. They had an interception. Lentz intercepted a pass too. So
maybe it's possible they were frustrated going in the game too because they played two really tough opponents in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and played close games.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's it. It's frustration, or it's just that they kept doing what they were doing, and it ended up finally paying off. So I believe they have Staunton this week. Staunton's put up 111 points in the first three games,
they're
I believe
one.
I saw. So
they're scoring points, yeah.
Yeah, beat Litchfield and beat Southwestern.
Southwestern's having a hard time stopping offense.
Offenses.
But they can score.
Mm-hmm. And it's always fun whenever they score because they light the fire on the PSL bird whenever they're at home. So, which I still can't believe that's not an insurance, problem somewhere down the line. Sort of safety hazard. You have flames shooting from a giant wooden bird. So I assume it's wooden. It may be metal or
I don't know. I haven't actually been up next to it. But
that's going to be one of my goals in life. Is before I die, I want to shoot the fire out of the bird. So
put in a request for the AD over there.
I'm sure I can pull some strings. So. The Journal Publications owns the newspaper over there, so
there you go.
Whether that will help or hinder my cause, I don't know, but we'll see what we can do.
Absolutely.
Bring some marshmallows.
Sure. We mentioned Staunton, we mentioned Hillsborough, Litchfield, Carlinville.
Payne laid a beating on Gillespie.
Gillespie's another one where they had an unfortunate schedule at the first three games of the year where they played Vandalia, Carlinville, and Pena to start the year. So they had a tough test to begin the season.
That is a tough test. But,
you got, as Duffy says, for Hillsborough, you got to play them all anyway.
I was going to say, it's not like you're not going to see these teams. It's like, well, if I win my first three games, then I won't have to play Carlinville.
Right, yeah.
It's not like a tournament. So, you got to play them sometime, So if you win, you're not complaining about it being a tough test. You're thrilled that it happened.
Right. There's only two unbeaten teams left in the conference, though, and that's Carlinville and Pena, and they play each other this week.
Cool.
We'll have it on the radio, yeah. I'll be there.
Well, very good.
Because Dan Newkirk, his daughter's getting married this weekend. So
very good. Yeah. So, I will... I think I'll be in Vandalia.
I think that's who Litchfield has is Vandalia.
I'm pretty stoked about that because
Litchfield historically has played Vandalia pretty well.
Yeah, the pizza place in Vandalia is awesome.
Is that Little Caesars?
No, not.
I was gonna say.
Oh my gosh,
that's one place that I know.
There's more than one.
I know.
They have a Pizza Hut too, and I actually like Pizza Hut pizza. I don't care.
I like Little Caesars.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's ready.
Ready's not my
okay.
That's not one
you
of my
like your pizza fresh.
No, it's not one of my qualifications for pizza. I'm willing to wait a few minutes.
Okay.
So you don't have to drag it from out under the heat lamp and it tastes like shoe leather.
I just have I have good memories of Little Caesars. That's all I'll say.
There is a pizza place, like a wood fire pizza.
Oh, yeah,
place,
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been there.
Over by Walmart.
Yeah,
so.
I don't remember what it's called, but I've been there.
Yeah, and if they would like to sponsor this podcast,
sure.
We will continue to talk about them each week.
Absolutely.
But food's pretty good. So
it is good.
Mexican restaurant over there is pretty good, too. Not the one that used to be a KFC. I've never been to that one. Although it might be good, too. There's one next to Little Caesars.
Yeah. The number of restaurants I've been in Vandalia are few and far between. I've been to the pizza place you're talking about, and I've been to McDonald's, maybe Wendy's, and that's it.
I love me some Sonic, too.
Sonic is good.
Tater Tots.
Oh, there aren't enough of those in this area.
No. Vandalia fortunately has one. I've thought about doing like a South Central Conference dining guide.
Hey.
But that would involve me selling ads, and I'm a writer.
You should probably stop mentioning their names,
I'm a wordsmith.
Given bit of free publicity to quite a few corporate places.
I'm sure the five people that listen to this podcast are okay with it.
Probably. Well, hey, tell your friends to have them listen, and maybe we can have some sponsorship dollars down the,
sure,
down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see that happening. But
I don't,
yeah,
either. Cross country is going on as well. I don't know what's going on in cross country.
I'm glad you brought it up, though. You,
yeah,
know,
it's, no, it's going on. There are,
yeah,
runners, I mean, running.
Litchfield finished. Litchfield's the team I know about since I cover them. They finished third on the girls' side. Madison Throne finished fourth overall,
yeah,
behind some really talented kids from Springfield Lutheran and Liberty. Springfield Lutheran had like six girls in the top five,
yeah,
or ten, something like that.
About
so,
that.
You know, I had like four girls in the top ten. But Litchfield had good showings from Caroline Corton and Madison Throne, both who finished in the top 15 or so. Ryan Pogenpohl was absent. I believe he was taking the ACTs, much like several other,
yeah,
kids. You know, the, saw quite a few missed it. But Cam Lee and Bailey Powell both had pretty good tournaments at for Litchfield over at Porta. So Carnivale, always good.
Absolutely.
They run.
Yeah.
They run. They play soccer.
They're
they
quick.
Play football.
They do Olympics.
They do Olympics. They can do all kinds of stuff.
They have a train station.
They do have
like
a train.
A passenger train station.
It's been like updated too.
I know.
I haven't really seen it.
I drove by. It looked good on my way by.
Yeah, I'm not a train guy. As Jason Isbell likes to say, I like train songs, but not train songs.
Okay. I haven't ridden on a train in a while. So
yeah.
I've never ridden on the Amtrak.
No.
So
I mean, I think you take the Amtrak to get into Chicago from like the suburbs. So I did that once whenever we went to Wrigley, and then like there was a bunch of people there. And I got really twitchy, and I hit a guy with a shovel.
Do they call you? Do they call you twitchy now?
No, that I do pretty good.
That's a travesty.
Yeah,
they really ought to.
People are smarter than that usually.
Yeah.
then call me a nickname I'm not thrilled with.
Okay. Well, speaking of running, we had the Grace 5K,
yeah,
since we last were on the air.
Yeah, 550 people. In Hillsboro, over 550 people, about 150 people worldwide. Bunch of
and
1 mile
walk, I should say. I was in the 1 mile walk. A
lot of 1 mile walkers,
yeah,
which is good. You know, I've much love to them. So, but yeah, we want to thank everybody for coming out.
If you've ever seen me, you can tell that I'm not a runner. So
yeah, I just stood at the finish line and hollered at people. So you know,
communicated with Ronald McDonald.
Man,
you didn't talk to him.
I did not speak to Ronald.
Ronnie McD.
I appreciate the efforts of everyone involved with the Grace Race. Yeah.
Okay.
My brother's also deathly afraid of clowns, so that,
okay,
if nothing else, it is fun to have Ronald McDonald there.
Sure.
They'll hear him muttering under his breath, I hope he doesn't come here.
So he didn't go see it.
He did not go see it. Yeah, I sent him the link to the All Clowns version at the Orpheum,
yeah,
but he passed on that, so yeah. Yeah, I'm probably not gonna go see it either. I'm gonna stick to.
We're going to.
Trolls.
Courtney and I are going to, because she won a free ticket from a certain establishment that I won't say. So
is it a strip club? Why can't
say? No, because they're not paying for advertising. That's why I'm not gonna.
Come
say
on, it's a podcast, dude.
I know, but another place around here is paying for advertising.
Nobody
on our station.
Nobody cares.
Well, nevertheless.
Was it Maverick Family Steakhouse?
Yeah, no,
was it? I'm gonna name.
No,
every,
it was a theater. It was a theater that you won it from.
I'm gonna name every business. Oh, was it the Orpheum?
I'm not.
Was it West Side Cinema?
I'm not gonna.
Was
say.
It the Marvel in Carlinville?
I'm not gonna say.
Was it AME and
AMC
in Edwardsville?
It was not.
Was it
or Springfield?
Or Springfield? I'm going to AMC on Tuesday. The Avett Brothers. Tomorrow is Tuesday. For those of you counting at home.
If you're listening on Wednesday, Kyle's already gone.
Yeah, Kyle's already gone. So you can check out my review on Twitter, but it's the Avett Brothers documentary. So
I enjoy them.
Yes.
Don't listen to them enough.
They are awesome sauce.
I wouldn't call myself a fan because I've only heard a handful of their stuff, but I do enjoy what I hear.
They're very good. So they are the soundtrack of my life, which is unfortunate because some of their songs are very sad.
Well, depressing stuff is where it's at. That's
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, songwriting is kind of like the same way with newspaper writing. As one guy once said, it's easy. You just sit down at the typewriter and open up a vein.
That's right.
So
couldn't be more right. We've covered just about all the sports that are going on right now, right? We're not missing any of them.
Yeah, I think we did a pretty good job. I honestly don't know how good of a job we did, but we had fun.
We did a job. That's what we did. Oh, that's just the way it goes.
Absolutely.
That's The Brushback here on WSMIRadio.com. Again, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at BrushbackWSMI. Like us on Facebook. You can follow Kyle on Twitter at JN Sports. Follow me on Twitter at DJenkinsWSMI. You can read Kyle in the Journal News. His column is Center and Guard, and he covers all the sports from the area. He's the sports area.
I haven't done a column in a while. Probably should do one of those.
Well, then just keep reading, and maybe you'll catch one.
Yeah, you'll catch something.
Again, listen to us every Monday afternoon here on WSMIRadio.com. We'll be back again next Monday afternoon. Until then, so long.